Melanie Brown here with you on the Big Red Bench. Plenty of sporting action throughout the weekend and wins all around for the Rebels, kicking it off with the Hurlers, and they had a hard-earned 220-121 win over Galway up in Salt Hill yesterday evening. Cork really kicked into gear heading towards half-time. There were some questions on Cork's discipline or maybe the referee's decision, 21 frees conceded versus 5 awarded. But for now, we'll hear from the main man himself, Cork senior hurling manager Ben O'Connor, who spoke to the media after that game, thanks to Dennis Hurley of The Echo.
And I suppose after 25 minutes, what were your thoughts? It was a struggle.
Yeah, I suppose it looked just like we didn't get off the bus at all. We were slow after, I suppose, last Saturday. We were on the ball straight away. And I suppose, look, down to the pressure that we were put under last Saturday, we could, for the first 20 minutes, we were able to do as we liked. We weren't there tonight. So I suppose, look, we were under a bit of pressure. And I suppose, to be fair about it, Galway should have been out of sight, did a lot of wides. But look, we had a quick chat with the lads at half time. They weren't happy with what they were after coming up with either. And they were fight it down the second half, which was a dog of doing. Exactly what you want in the league. Good fighting, attitude out of the fellas, and nice to get the 2 points at the end of the game. So.
And was the attitude probably as pleasing as the 2 points at the end?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like there was a lot of questions asked last time, and that's what you're down to, was attitude. Like, and I suppose we saw what we had in the second half, like fellas really dug in. Right up until the final whistle there, it could have gone anywhere, like, and that's what we're looking at. It's the attitude. Yeah, exactly.
And I suppose just from last week, the conditions, I suppose the pitch, a heavy pitch, different to last week, obviously. Was that a bit of a...
The field's actually lovely.
Yeah?
The field's lovely. You know, a small few marks here and there for the fellas are falling and turning fast in it, but it was actually very nice. Nice but aggressive, and it was, the ball was travelling, not as fast as last week, but it was still travelling and moving on. Like. So, look, we're not complaints with the field, so just we were slow to get going, but I suppose a bit of a row before half time, I suppose it did help. It just gets fellas' blood flowing and just lighten things up. It's marvellous. Not delighted to get the 2 points.
And even before then, I suppose they kind of started to chip away at it. Like, I think was it 5 points in a row to finish the half. So I suppose it's probably encouraging that lads know themselves out on the pitch, you know, that they need to start lifting it, and you get that collective improvement. Like,
yeah, I think we were down, was it 4 at the time, 5, and I think they had a chance for a goal.
Yeah,
instead of putting it over the bar.
Yeah.
And that was, and next time we got the next 4 or 5 points. But and look, it's impossible. You'd say, oh, change is there. Trying to get information into the lads outside the field.
Yeah.
It's impossible. You put your foot inside the line, there's someone giving out you, and you'll be sitting above in the stand next there. So it's very hard to get in. But that's the way the boys operate. They're inside and they'll work things out themselves.
Yeah, and the 2 goals, then obviously Brian finished them. But I suppose it kind of goes back to what you were saying last week about fellas looking for the fella in the better position. Like, it was good use of the ball. Like,
yeah, I suppose the 2 boys that laid off the ball, the 2 of them could have held a shot.
Yeah.
Like, but they saw the fella in a better position, so they just popped it inside. And look, that's the difference between winning and losing at the end of the day. We've been following Cork teams long enough where that wouldn't have happened, where a fella had taken a shot and put it wide or be hooked. Whereas now, these fellas, look, they realise that if the man in a better position, you just pop it.
And to be able to bring on Brian and Tim at half time, and to be able to bring Seamus back into the team, like, real experience. Like, you know, you're not weakening the team, that you have this kind of depth now.
Yeah, I should be delighted. And look, Seamus, what, 36 years of age? And what's driving him? Only the young fellas are training.
Yeah.
So look, we're delighted to get as long as we did out of Jamie. That probably wasn't the plan, but he was going so well, we said we'd leave him inside. And look, that'll send him for next week again.
And for someone like Shane Barrett, 6 from play, like, you know, we all know what he can do, and I suppose it's just a case of trying to get that every match. Like,
we do get him more. Yeah. But he knows himself. He'll hit a couple of shots there that he should put over the bar as well. So that's the way Shane is. Like, he's looking for perfection, and next week he'll be doing the same again. Like, in fairness, he's a great worker and he's a good team player, and that's all we're asking out of him, fella.
Ben, is that you asking questions at them on a flying, or is it them asking themselves?
Ask themselves. We're only here to facilitate them fellas. Them fellas know what they want, they know what they're doing. You lay out something and they just go and do it. You see there on the second half, I said you can't get messages into the field, which isn't right in my opinion, that you can't. You're training all week and you're going to tell fellas this and tell fellas that, and then you're going to a match and you can't get information in. So they have to figure out themselves inside. And they do, in fairness, most of the time they come up with it.
And is the solution to that just to bring back the referee? For the messages, I mean, sorry.
Sure, we're going like soccer, aren't we? We've black cards, red cards, yellow cards, we've technical areas, so we're following that game. Like. So look, and that's the fellas above top trying to clean hurling. That's what they're trying to do. If you want to be fair about it, they don't want any dust up, they don't want any bit of blood spilled, they don't want the hurley broke, they want to make it a nice game for my little Johnny at home. But like, genuine hurling people don't want that. They want a good, hard, physical game. No one gets hurt when it's played that way. They want the dirty stroke pulled outside there tonight, and no one got hurt. So then that's higher above. They're trying to take the mentalness out of the game, in my opinion.
Ben, I suppose we saw plenty of it there this evening. Good, intense contest between the two teams. Plenty of physicality, plenty of competitive edge from both teams. So I'm sure, you know, at this time of the year, it's great to have that kind of a competitive game under your belts, because I know last weekend you had a bit of a runaway win.
We knew coming up here we were going to get a battle, especially like they put up the tip last Saturday night and just were ran out of steam probably at the end. They were home for their first league game here tonight, so that's the way it goes. And when you have a home league game, it's definitely worth a few scores here. It shouldn't, but it's definitely worth a few scores here. We'd have fierce travelling crowd again now tonight, last week with 20,000 blown cocks, it does make a difference. But now we're delighted with it, and we'll get the same now next Saturday night, and we can't wait to get up there now Saturday night at Rugby Park.
Brilliant, yeah. I suppose an awful lot of impressive performances all over the field, but half forward line in particular today, I think it was 13 points between the three of them, really outstanding there, and that gave you a big platform today.
Yeah, look, we're expecting that out of everyone every day of the week, and all games built on work rate and effort, and I suppose the first half was slightly down in the second half that has gone into it, and that helped. It just gives the fellas an extra split second maybe on the ball to have a shot, and rather than rush it, they get that second, they can put it over the bar. So look, I don't know, as the boys inside their half, it's our second league game, we won't get carried away. It is tonight of another 2 points, and you can see that the hurling is probably getting a little bit sharper over there.
And a clash against Tipperary awaits the Rebels next Saturday at home in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Tipperary sit atop the table just slightly ahead of us after they ran away with a massive 5-24-118 win over Offaly at O'Connor Park this afternoon. Tipperary hurling boss Liam Cahill spoke to the media following that win.
You're down a number of lads from last week. It shows the strength of your panel.
Yeah, well, look, it's competitive. It's competitive. If the fellas get the opportunity to get in, they're anxious to take it. And you know, the effort was superb today again from everybody, from the starting 15 to the five that came in. The effort was really, really good. So that's all we can ask for every day we go out, is for everybody to give it everything they've got. And once we stay doing that, we can't have any complaints.
And the lads you bought in, like, you know, from the point of view of Jason Ford was back, he was very much on form.
Yeah, no, it's getting, we're at round two of the league now. You know, we have a big assignment obviously next week, next Saturday night in Cork, and we're trying to, you know, get lads back onto the field and get a bit of competitive action back into them. And obviously, I've said it already without repeating myself, it's a case of managing the workload of the guys that are still involved with Fitzgibbon Cup as well. So it's always going to be a difficult couple of weeks to manage.
Elsewhere, it was the ladies who got a well-deserved win over a very well-matched Galway side, and Ger McCarthy has the full-time report from Páirc Uí Ring.
Cork 1-10, Galway 2-5. Cork registered their first Lidl LGFA National League Division 1 victory following a hard-fought 2-point triumph at home to Galway in Páirc Uí Ring on Sunday afternoon. Following a draw with Kildare in their league opener, Joe Carroll's side delivered a much-improved performance to see off their old Division 2 rivals. Katie Quirk's 5 points and Anya Terry O'Sullivan's 1-2 provided the bulk of the winner's scores. Yet, this was a league victory chiselled from a solid defensive display that limited Galway to 7 scores. Cork hit two early wides but were quicker to settle amid sunshine and blue skies. Galway's no-nonsense defence ensured scores were hard to come by throughout the first quarter. It was the Rebels' back six who were equally proficient, getting back in numbers to make sure a slow start delivered no score until Nava Vaughan's Gracie Murucu split the posts after 7 minutes. A slow pace did little to enliven the crowd, with both sides wasting chances, including Aoife Healy firing wide from the edge of the square. Cork's patient approach was rewarded with a free when Katie Quirk was fouled, from which the Bride Rovers forward Julie converted. Galway needed a spark, and Leanne Cohen provided it with her side's first score. Roisin Leonard from a free made it 2 apiece as the Connacht team settled. Aoife Healy's regular burst forward were rewarded with Cork's 3rd point before Anya Terry O'Sullivan made it 0-4-0-2 from close range. Leonard converted her 2nd free after Leanne Cohen was fouled, but Cork responded positively with Katie Quirk and Anya Terry O'Sullivan curling over consecutive points. Rachel Leahy had the final save of the opening half, however, reducing the deficit to leave Galway trailing 6-4 at the interval. It was Daniel Moynihan's side who dominated proceedings at the beginning of the second period. A sustained period of possession ended with Ellen Power lofting the ball towards Cork Square, where Andrea Trill gathered and fired into the net from close range. The Rebels' response was positive, however, as Katie Quirk kicked over 2 consecutive frees to make it 0-8-1-4. Galway refused to panic, and a counter-attack initiated by Mairead Glynn ended with Leanne Cohn punching in her team's second goal of the afternoon. The scores kept coming as Cork answered that green flag with one of their own. Substitute Shauna Kelly set up Anya Terry O'Sullivan to billow the net and make it 1-8-2-4. Katie Quirk missed a straightforward free, but Abigail Ring made no mistake to edge the host two clear a minute later. Substitute Hannah Noon kicked Galway's first point of the second half to leave a score in it with 8 minutes to go. Galway couldn't find a way past their opponent's defence, and a fourth Quirk free handed Cork a two-point cushion with 60 seconds remaining. Pushing forward in search of a late two-pointer that would have levelled the score, Galway couldn't come up with the necessary orange flag, and it's Cork who deservedly ran out 1-10-2-5 winners ahead of next weekend's long trip up north to face Armagh. Final score from today's Lidl LGFA National League Division 1 game at Park Ewing, Cork 1-10, Galway 2-5. For the Big Red Bench, I'm Ger McCarthy.
And now we'll hear from Cork senior manager Joe Carroll and Cork captain Emma Cleary.
Joe, fantastic. First Division 1 win back up. But I would imagine, whatever about the result, the performance today was really encouraging. Defensively, restricting Galway to 7 scores and getting that first win on the board. You must be delighted.
Yeah, absolutely delighted, Joe. You know, I think our attitude was brilliant against Kildare, and we didn't have the killer instinct maybe up front, and maybe we got the few scores. We improved, we worked on that a good bit during the week there, and it, I think it helped. But I think even coming towards the end, our defensive work was outstanding, because like Galway, we gave the ball to Galway 2-3 times to give it a chance, maybe a get a 2-pointer, like, and they have one girl there, Case Levin, who's exceptionally good, like, and we never let them have the kick off high up or low down, but we eventually turned it over and the match was over then. But look, we're delighted.
You also got a very important goal from Arnie Terry O'Sullivan. He had other chances as well as that, but I suppose the overall shape of the team and the way he defended, you know, 15 players defended from the front, he forced a few turnovers from their kickouts as well.
Yeah, our work right now, in fairness, was phenomenal. I thought we worked hard from the very word go. Every one of our forwards worked fierce hard, and we have been stressing that all the year. You know, I suppose with the three-up rule now, especially, you can't afford to let the ball transition out fierce fast, because if you do, you're going to be in trouble at the back. And maybe there was a few times that we did fall asleep against Kildare now, once they got their goals kind of last week out of that, and they created another goal chance, which they could have said. And like, I suppose a lot of people said to me after the Kildare match that Kildare weren't the greatest team, but I look back at the video and I think Kildare will trouble a good few teams before this league is over. And sure, look, we hopefully can build on this. We've killed Armagh away next week. Like, it's going to be a difficult trip up there, because they have a lot of very good players as well.
But on the plus side, you've got two tough away games, Armagh and Kerry, to come, but with 3 points in the bank, you have a bit of momentum. And you mentioned as well there in the huddle, like, very, very good training this past week. If you get that training again this week, you've nothing to lose going up there.
Absolutely nothing. Look, and I suppose this should give us a bit of a boost in confidence, because this group, like, I suppose, going over not last year, but like even 2 years, haven't won a whole pile of important games, league games or nothing. Like, they were relegated the year before, which a lot of people fail to forget. And like, they got up last year, and I think the thing last year that I kept stressing on them, we were playing a lot of Division 2 teams, and playing Division 2 teams is totally different to playing a Division 1 team, because the pace of the game is a lot better. Like, the pace of that and the pace of the Kildare game was at a different level altogether. And look, we're getting to grips with it, and we'll keep working it, and hopefully we'll get there in the finish.
Good stuff. Best luck in Armagh.
Thanks, John.
Okay, Emma, first of all, the victory today, born out of a really good team performance defensively as well, restricting Galway to 7 scores. You must be absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, look, definitely delighted to come away with the 2 points anyway. Really, we always knew it was going to be a tough game against Galway, but yeah, very happy with parts. I know they're probably down a good few at this stage, and we're probably the same, still waiting on a few to come back, but a good run out and good to get the 2 points.
I heard it mentioned there in the huddle, a very, very good week of training put down, and you're going to need that again in the weeks ahead, but it obviously had the desired effect.
Yeah, definitely. I think I said that there. I think it's just these few weeks, there's college games and everything going on with the O'Connor Cup, so it'd be easy to kind of let things drop when there's players down at training and stuff, but we really, everyone that was there this week, and even the college girls, made sure they got their recovery in and stuff after Thursday, so just delighted with that week, and hopefully we can drive it on again this week.
And whichever way you look at it, Emma, 3 points out of 4, your first time back up in Division 1, is a good return, especially with two tough away games against Armagh and Kerry to come. Gives the squad a nice boost now.
Definitely, I think so. I think it's probably showing the importance of getting even a point out of last weekend as well. So I suppose, yeah, like, the league is all about, you know, getting as many points on the board as you can. You know, two teams go down every year. So like that, just to get the 4 points at this stage, we'd be happy enough.
They got in for a couple of goals. That's something that I know you'll work on. But from a defensive point of view, your shape and the way you defended, and you restricted them to a lot of attempts, that's got to be encouraging.
Yeah, look, I think we'd be disappointed there just after halftime. I think that's when we conceded the two goals. But I think there, the last 10 minutes, we kept them out well, and we knew they were probably looking for a two-pointer there at the end. Kate Seven was around the arc, so I think we defended that well. I thought Sive McGoldrick did a great job on her today. So, look, we probably there's a lot of learning to take from it. We wouldn't be happy with the two goals we conceded, but positives as well.
Indeed, and just finally going up to Armagh next week, 3 points in the bank, as you said, nothing to lose. Here now, you might as well have a go.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely not going to be an easy trip going up the road, but look, we're this is what you want to be doing, games week on week. It makes the training a bit easier anyway during the week, so look, we're looking forward to it.
Good stuff, best luck with that one.
Thanks, Mel.
And finally for today, we'll hear from Cork's Áine Terry O'Sullivan.
Áine Terry O'Sullivan, fantastic win for Cork. Big day today, coming off a draw with Kildare, needed that victory, and he played well and got the win.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose it's good to know after our performance last week. I suppose it was great to get the draw last week, being down 3 or 4 points at one stage. But obviously coming today, we've seen that Galway put up a big score against Meath last week. Mm. They're obviously down a good few players. All the Kilkerran and Clamburn girls are still missing, but it was still, we were aiming for a win here today, and in fairness, we played well. Got scores at the right time. When they got the goal, we didn't put the head down and just kept going. And yeah, it's great now to get another few points on the board.
1-2 from yourself, getting the scores when they're coming your way, must be delighted with that.
Yeah, I suppose it's good. I suppose, that's our job in the forwards, really. I suppose I could have got another goal there at the end, but I got kind of swallowed up there by two of them, so that was push of luck. But yeah, the same with Katie Cork, Abigail Ring, everyone, Grace Murphy, they all chipped in with great scores, so it was great, kind of good spread of scores there as well today.
Good to see you back involved with Cork Seniors, make a contribution, because you've been around a long time, with the greatest of respect, coming back for another year with so many young players involved, are they bringing the best out of you?
Yeah, geez, I'm feeling very old here at the moment.
That's not what I meant.
No, but yeah, there's a lot of girls have gone over the last few years, but there's a lot of younger girls coming in now, and yeah, in fairness, the likes of Abigail Ring there now, and there's other younger girls as well that are pushing for places, but yeah, they're keeping me young anyway, which is good.
Two big away games coming up, Armagh and Kerry, but I heard you saying there you put down a great week's training. If you can do so again, you'll go up there with renewed confidence. 3 points out of four is a great start to the league.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a long trip up now on Saturday, but I think we can go into that match now full of confidence that we can come away with a good result as well, hopefully.
And just finally, good to be back in the Cork jersey, moving freely and everything, and getting a good base now for the Munster Championship and all that. That's what this league is all about. But playing Division 1 football on your home park, is it for the younger players in this Cork team?
Oh yeah, it's so important. I suppose we were only used to Division 1 really when I came onto the panel or whatever, but I suppose last year we were down in Division 2. I suppose it was nice to get all those wins last year, get to a final playing Croke Park. For a lot of girls, it was their first time, but I think going into the Munster Championship, you're going to be playing the likes of Kerry and Waterford, who've been playing a lot of Division 1 games, so we'll be meeting them in a few weeks time, so it's no harm to kind of see where we are. And I think to be looking towards the Championship, you want to be in Division 1 really. Yeah,
good stuff. Well done today.
And it was the senior men's team that fulfilled 3 from 3 wins for Cork sides in action this weekend. A 117-112 win away to Loud. A much more well-rounded performance than last week's in Porky Cueve. And now we'll hear from John Cleary, Cork senior manager, thanks to Matthew Hurley from the Southern Star.
John, you must be delighted with that very composed performance.
Yeah, look, the win was the first thing. We wanted to come up and win, and we did. I thought it was a good performance. I thought we controlled the game for nearly all the time. We didn't maybe take our scores again when we should have. We a couple of goal chances butchered again, but anytime Loud looked like coming back at us, we weathered a bit of a storm, and we steadied the ship, and we won a lot of breaks today, which maybe for 60 minutes against Cavan we didn't, and we addressed that during the week, that in these tight games you have to be winning the breaks, and I think that's what maybe was the winning and losing the game for us today.
Like the pair of 2-pointers just before our time, they were crucial, weren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, there was a breeze there, and we knew there that we needed a bit of a cushion going in at half time, and you couldn't force it either. Loud have had some very good comebacks before, so we even knew at half time that unless we were on our game, they'd be completely back in it. They started the second half well, but but look, in fairness, we weathered the storm. As I said, won the breaks around the middle and went up and chipped away at the scoreline the second half.
And defensively as well, you were excellent, kept a clean sheet, you know, was the last couple of, you know, trips up here, got a couple of goals at crucial stages.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, we just conceded, I think it was 10 points up until the last minute or a minute and a half, and they get a goal in two, you know, if there's any, you know, slightly disappointing into it, that is it. But look, we had the cushion there, and we look at that and hopefully improve on that, but we're delighted to go home tonight with the 2 points.
It's a big win for Cork, like, isn't it? You know,
Look, in Division 2, all these games are big games. They're pressure games, and particularly when you're travelling away, and, you know, long journey up here, against, you know, the very big crowd here today. They're Leinster champions, let no one, you know, forget that. And as I said, look, we're delighted to go toe to toe with them. You know, we thought our preparation was excellent going into the game last week, and maybe we weren't overly happy with the performance. Very happy with the result, and we were determined to put on a performance here today as well. And thanks for the God, it came through.
And that's back-to-back wins, so I think, John, for the first time since 2020 in the league, that's very, very pleasing from a confidence booster, I suppose.
Yeah, look, in Division 2, every 2 points is going to be very, very hard fought. Saw last night, you know, Derry and Tyrone were down to the last kick. We went out to the last kick last week, so games will be going like that. So any day you eke out a win, you know, you'll take it and move on to the next day, because, look, it doesn't get any easier. And we break now, and three, you know, tough weeks, the same as any other team in Division 2. So it's a tough, tough division. And look, thanks be to God, we got off to the start that we would have hoped for, and but a long way to go yet.
A dream start is right as Cork sit number one in the Division 2 league table. And now Camogie, and it's been a busy period for them as well, with two of the county's under 16 panels contesting Munster Camogie finals, and the Miners, of course, retaining their provincial championship. The draw for the All Ireland Camogie under 16 A and B championships has thrown up some cracking matches for the Rebel County. Their very own Dermot Carty caught up with Cork Camogie Development Officer Murray Lynch to review Cork's Munster Minor and under 16 campaigns, as well as looking ahead to this year's All Ireland Championships.
Now, returning to us here on the Big Red Bench is Cork Camogie Development Officer Murray Lynch. Murray, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are things?
Good, thanks, sir. Thanks for having me again.
Very good to have you back. You have all the information. It's been a very, very busy start to the year for the under-16s and for the Cork Minors as well. Disappointment, though, for both the Cork under-16 teams as they were defeated in their respective Munster Championship finals over the past last weekend. The A's, the under-16 A's, let's talk first about them, Murray. They were up against a very, very good Tipperary team in Castle Road. They lost 2-15 to 2-6, but a real battling effort from the sounds of things.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, we have a fabulous bunch of girls. There is no denying that. There's always factors at play, but there's no blame game. It was just one of these days, and we won't take from Tipperary. They're actually a really strong team on the day. So, like, we went back training Tuesday night, the lads had them, and, like, it was impressive to see the attitude of those girls, is the feedback that I'm getting, the positivity, how much they're driving themselves, and at 15 and 16 years of age, that's what you want from girls playing Camogie, in my opinion. So happy with them.
Yeah, so I mean, we're talking about 16, 15, 16 year old girls. We have to pinch ourselves sometimes because we talked about so many adult sports on this, on the Big Red Bench. But it's worth remembering as well, as a development officer, development is what it's all about at this age. So everybody wants to win in All-Ireland, everybody, when they pull on the red jersey, yes, wants to win a game. I get that, and you get that. But there's a bigger picture here for these group, for these two panels, these, the BAs and the Bs, in that they improve every outing. And I would imagine as well, when you come up short in a final, that you want an opportunity to atone for it, and there'll be that opportunity a bit later in the year.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we will be playing them again. We've some really tough matches coming up in our All-Ireland series, but these girls, they will learn from it, and that's the most important thing. They're allowed to be disappointed, they're allowed to be frustrated, but we will help them go again. We will train them harder in different ways where we need to. So I'm not worried about them. They did put on their best performance. It wasn't our day. Tipperary had a very, very strong team. We have the skill. We have the characteristics that's needed. So it will be an interesting year, but I'm looking forward to it. You have to find the positivity, especially when you're dealing with underage. In any age, we have to, like, Cork is a very proud county. Camogie is no different. So we will kind of keep working, and that's all we can do.
Very well put. And I suppose the exact same applies to the under-16Bs, another very big panel, a lot of very talented players on that. Very unlucky to lose out narrowly to Limerick and Federer as well. Evian Hudner got 1-2 in that final. Lucy Heafy and Ella McCarthy were the other Cork scorers in that particular game. That's the same message, same mantra there. I'd imagine, Murray, that look, disappointed obviously in losing a final, but losing narrowly means there's plenty, there's an opportunity to atone for it again. And I would imagine they're as determined as the other girls you were speaking about.
Oh, absolutely. Like I always say, there's a very fine line between A and B in Cork, any other county, not being disrespectful to them, but these girls probably walk on some of those panels. That is the talent and the caliber of players we have in Cork. So they work just as hard, especially for Munster Championship. So like it's disappointing for them when they say, oh, I'm B. But we give them the coping skills to deal with that and help them. And they're trained just as hard as the A panel. They work just as hard, the same characteristics again. So I'm not worried about them. We know what we want to work on with the girls. The girls also reflect, see what they need to work on. And it is a work in progress.
Development, 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 as you say, and you are at the development officer on that. There was better news for the Cork Miners last weekend as they successfully defended their Munster Minor Camogie title, defeating Limerick 2-9 to 14 points. And for Massey O'Sullivan, who will be speaking to on the bench this weekend as well, Mairead, lovely boost as well ahead of their All-Ireland series.
Absolutely. They are a fantastic bunch of girls. I suppose in my role, I do have the privilege of kind of getting to know all these girls and watching them grow. So it's probably why I don't overly worry. I see where girls can go, the different skills they bring, how they grow into the players that they're becoming. And some of those girls on Sunday were absolutely outstanding. It was actually a pleasure to watch. It was heart-wrenching at times and heartbreaking. You would be kind of getting, I was getting a little bit excited, I won't lie, but a fantastic display for January. In all fairness, it has to be said. So it was great.
And you mentioned January, and we're still in the month of January as we record this. But I mentioned it to Tomasi, and something that Rory Noonan in the Echo raised, and a very, very good point, as Rory, he's always got his finger on the pulse. The Munster Championship taking place in January, there's pros and cons, Mairead. Obviously, you get the championship played off. The weather isn't great. It's a different type of camogie that you have to play, and it does set panels all over the province and around the country up to play in the All-Ireland Series. There's a lot going on in 15 and 16 and 18 year old girls' lives at school and work and lots of other things. But the timing of it, I mean, what's your take on that as a development officer? What are the pros and cons of having to play competitive games so early in the year?
It's definitely something Cork has raised, to be honest with you. But to be fair to Munster, I do understand. To me, everything comes from the top down. Our national fixtures are fixed. Where do we find windows to play these games? The girls want these games, which is the most important thing. The timing, yeah, hopefully. I know Munster are constantly trying to change, improve, find the windows to get them. You also have to consider that we have some really strong schools playing Camogie and Cork, and they also have finals this time of year. So it's trying to tweak and get everything played. It is tough and it is a little bit of a rush, but we have to make do. We have to keep doing what we can do to improve the standards of Camogie, the game of Camogie, promote it. To be fair, the weather does impact it, and it can, the pitches, they're not always the most suitable for Cork. We're lighter players, very, very skillful. Summer hurling does suit us at times, but we adapt to it and we'll find every strength we can in it. Do you know, it's something that is becoming more prevalent every year. There is such a tight window because of the split season, because of everything. It impacts every age group, not just adults. So there's a lot of work to be done there across the board.
No, and you put it very well there. As we said, like, we're not criticising anyone here. We're just drawing attention to the fact, as you said, the window's so short. What are the provinces supposed to do? They've got to fit them in and get them out of the way. One of the benefits, though, was just briefly to finish up on it, Mairead. At least there's competitive games coming into the All-Ireland Series. So the girls, the players on these particular panels have had a taste of it rather than coming in cold.
Well, absolutely. Like, let's be honest, Munster Camogie is really, really strong. probably some of the best counties are in the province. So we get really, really good games to set us up. You won't get them in challenges. It's as simple as that. So we have to utilise it and make the best of it. You know, like, we want to win all the time. We're Cork, of course we do. But we will still get something out of this, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that will be very soon, because the Mogie Under-16B Championship has Cork in a round robin group with Galway, Kilkenny and Tipperary. They'll play off against each other, and then the finals will take place in late April. So it's going to be very busy. There's a lot of work to be done on the training pitch between now and then, and that's what the Bees will be focusing on.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we're lucky in Munster that we do get a championship for the girls as well. So we retain them and they go into league, development league, which, I suppose, with development, it's always forward planning. So, like, these girls, they just need that little bit that could bring them on. Like, even this year, one of my 16Bs from last year was a starting player last Sunday in the minor game. So what we're doing is working. It's just to kind of keep it going. And the girls love it. They love it. It's everything for a reason. And I'm very much a big believer in that. It doesn't define them. A and B does not find these girls. There is plenty of senior players that played 16B. There is plenty of under 23s and minors, you know. So I try and keep all these facts to give the girls, because you can tell them, but when you show them, it means something. So, like, we had Cuiva Foley last week starting the minor final, and she was 16B last year. So it just shows that these leagues are important as well for the B team.
This is there, that development round robin, Galway, Kilkenny and Tipperary, as we said, the finals of that particular great idea as well will occur in late April. As well as that, the All-Ireland Camogie Under-16A Championship begins in February. Cork and Galway meeting in the first round, a repeat of last year's final. Cork will then travel to Kilkenny, host Tipperary, travel to Waterford and away to Limerick, and the semi-finals and finals take place in late April. Just very briefly on that, Mairead, lots of exciting games coming up, but that first one against Galway might be an interesting one.
It is going to be really, really tough. We've no doubt about that, but we will have the girls prepared as best we can. We're a little different. We don't carry under 15s in our Cork 16s, so no one is there from last year to remember it. I'm sure all the under 16s from last year will be willing them on. We have two tough opening games. There's no point in saying we don't. But as I said, the girls are preparing for it. They will put in their best effort, as will management. And that's kind of what we'll do, you know.
Yep, as only you can. Ahead of those, the development round robin and the All-Ireland Camogie Under-16A Championships, lots to look forward to for a Cork team. Got two sets of panels that got to Munster Finals, and we'll be looking to kick on in that. Mairead Lynch, thanks very much once again for speaking to us here on the Big Red Bench. I will talk to you when those championships come around.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Ger.
Exciting times ahead in all codes and age groups for Cork GAA, and long may the good results last all around. Now that's all we have time for in the first half, but don't go anywhere, because we'll be looking at all things Six Nations, especially Ireland's massive opening game away to France on Thursday night.
The Big Red Bench. Cork. Red FM.
Now, welcome back to the Big Red Bench. We are delighted to have Fiona Hayes on the show with us today. Fiona, how are you getting on?
I'm good, really good. Looking forward to the start of the Six Nations. Now, I know there's a lot of doom and gloom around the place about the loss of some props and stuff, and of course Bundy, but I'm excited at seeing a bit of new talent coming through.
Definitely, definitely. And the Thursday night kickoff, what do you think of that?
Oh God, I don't know, it's going to be a funny one. I'd say a lot of people will be out and struggling to get up for work on the Friday, but it's going to be, obviously it's got to do with the Winter Olympics in Paris. I think it's going to be good for the team. They'll obviously get over a day earlier, get the preparation in, and look, it's something different, and that's what you enjoy about the Six Nations. It's going to be a daunting prospect to go to France on that opening weekend anyway, and certainly Friday, Thursday, I'm sure it doesn't really make a difference to the lads once they're over in time and get that prep in.
Definitely. And like Conor Murray mentioned during the week, like, the Six Nations is often decided by momentum. Like, the first two of the three games is France and England away. Like, do you think those two games are going to be pivotal to the Six Nations, really?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I think, obviously, the first game is going to be huge, but it's not all loss and doom and gloom. If they can go and get, if they lose over in France and can get the win in Twickenham, because they obviously have the next three games at home. And I feel like this year, I could be wrong, I'm not sure if we'll see a Grand Slam winner this year. I think there will, whoever wins it will have maybe lost a game, especially the top, if you're looking at the top three ranked teams, you're looking at England, Ireland and France. Obviously France and England are playing immense rugby at the minute, but you can never count Ireland out, and it's always close, and someone will pip someone, I think, in those big games.
Definitely, and I think Farrell mentioned it maybe the last 2 weeks, he wants that Grand Slam. Is that a bit of added pressure, or is it nearly even mind games going into this?
Yeah, I think you have to say that. Look, as a coach, especially with it being those two away games, France and England, it's tough. The way it falls those years, obviously, when they're at home in the Aviva, there's a lot of hope around winning a Grand Slam. But I think it will be very hard to go to those both arenas so early on in the tournament and get the wins. Never say never, but certainly he has to say it. He's the head coach, but I think you would be happy in finishing anything in that maybe top three. Top two in particular would be great for him, just with the way things have gone and trying to build for this next upcoming World Cup cycle.
Definitely. And you touched on earlier the absences. Like, what if you were Andy Farrell right now, what would you be doing?
It's funny. It's almost like, would you be wrapping them up in cotton wool? You'd imagine, is there much contact going on at training, especially for those props in particular, the loose outside? Look, it's rugby. I think these things happen. People will stress and all that type of stuff around it. But sometimes it just needs someone to get a break and get it and, you know, get their chance to put a stamp on. And I think the both loose heads up there in particular, Michael Milne, and obviously I would imagine Lachman will start with the way things are going at the minute, just scrummaging wise. Maybe it just needs those moments for guys to get in, and it's the same in that centre partnership. McCluskey, I think everyone's talking about Bundy, but for me, I would have had Bundy on the bench, always great to bring on, but certainly McCluskey and Ringrose probably are the informed centres at the minute. So there's a lot of guys coming through as well from Ulster that are playing unbelievable rugby that are up in camp, so it's going to be interesting around selections, I think, is the most thing. But certainly I'm not as downbeaten as everyone else. I just feel like it's a new chance for younger guys to get out and try and make their place on that team. As I said, World Cup in 4 years, you need to start breeding a bit of younger blood through.
That's it, because there has been a bit of talk around the camp of the age profile, so maybe this could be a blessing in disguise that a few younger lads on the panel get brought up. Like,
100%. And look, it's not always, I mean, you're not going to go over to France and be young and, you know, maybe you will have the game of your life, but it's about getting these minutes at international level, getting the feeling. I played in France myself, nothing like the amount of fans there that would be there for the men's game, but it's a very, very hostile environment. And they love to rattle younger players, and obviously to get behind their team so well. So for that experience, for younger guys to get into that match day situation, beyond the pitch, feel that out, that can only stand to when it comes to World Cup time. And we have, because in a World Cup you're always going to have like big injuries, and in the past I suppose we've looked at it as probably killing off our chances when it comes to those last couple of games, quarterfinals in particular. But certainly I think getting younger players capped, getting more of a bigger squad with caps under the belt can only add to that. And I feel like with the injuries and what's going on in this Six Nations, it's a good chance to blood a few younger players through.
Definitely. And you can only use what's in front of you, and that's exactly what he's going to have to do. Now, finally, like, I'm not going to, like, are Ireland, like, do you think they're genuine contenders this year? Like,
I never write us off, to be honest with you. I wouldn't know. Everyone says I'm forever the optimist, but we have the ability to play really, really good rugby. France on the first game, obviously we know the threats they have. I mean, look at their backline, Bailbury. They're missing a couple of guys as well, and Uno Antonio having a cardiac arrest last week and having to retire from that's scary stuff. But he would have been one of the best tight ends in the world, in my opinion, and they've lost a couple other guys and haven't brought some guys into camp, so they're in a little bit of a transition as well. So I feel like if Ireland could get the win in France, and start off in that confidence, it's going to be very, very hard to do that. But if they could get something like that going forward, I feel like they are in with a chance and they'll build momentum as they go through that tournament then.
Well, and now we'll hear from Susanna Mullen of Off the Ball. She spoke to Andy Farrell at the launch of the Six Nations in Edinburgh last week.
Andy, it's been a bit chaotic here, so I'm going to jump right in at the deep end if that's okay. Jack Boyle obviously went down on Saturday. It's been kind of the headline over the weekend. What was your reaction to it, either watching or hearing?
Devastated for him because you know, he'd have been disappointed not to get a game for us in the autumn, and he took that in the right manner and went back and played some unbelievable rugby for Leinster. So he would have been dying to get back into camp and hoping for a chance to kick off his international career and carry that form on at this level. So devastated for him.
We've obviously got Billy coming in, who's very young. We've got a couple of young players coming in that position. Are you confident in that, or might there be temptation to move some people over from the other side of the scrum?
Well, we'll keep open-minded about it. We've got four lads on the other side of the scrum as well who could do that, but at the same time, you know, like a few lads, we've never worked with Billy before. We've watched his progress and we know all about him coming through the 20s and all of that. You know, you get to find out how people are able to cope in the pressures of coming into an international camp and trying to get up to speed pretty quickly. So hopefully the lads will spur the likes of Billy on and more lads who are coming into the camp for the first time.
I want to ask you quickly about Zach Ward, Joshua Kenny. They were obviously mentioned a lot this week. How close was that conversation kind of between the two squads around those players?
Well, if you look at the Ireland 15 game that we've got against England, that game's as important as any Six Nations game for Ireland. Because of the quality of players who are looking to be internationals standard that have got playing for us. And we know the strength and the depth of what England's got. It was a tough match in Bristol last year, so we're hoping for something different in Limerick, and that game's just as important for Irish rugby as any other. So those type of boys that you're talking about there, they're young in their development, might not be age, but young in their development as far as rugby's concerned, 15's game's concerned, coming into a setup where you have to get as prepared as you possibly can be to be your best self within 5 days in a new environment is different. And that type of feeling is going to be sent to those type of boys.
So last question. Is there much integration between the two squads, and is there chance for if they put on a great show, that they could be called into the main squad?
Well, of course, they're Irish players, so there's definitely a chance. Otherwise, why would we be doing it? Yeah, so we'll be watching. We'll be watching, and but as far as integration, that's what normally happens when we're on the ground there in Dublin. We're not, because we're at a training camp in Portugal, and we go straight to Paris from Portugal there. So we're not at home for the next couple of weeks, but we'll certainly be watching on Friday night.
Amazing. Best of luck. Thank you.
And now is Captain Keelan Doris also speaking to Susanna.
Okay, Keelan, obviously you guys were back together yesterday for the first time. What was the mood like as everyone gathered?
I was over here early, so I actually haven't been into camp yet. We'll be flying off to Portugal. The boys are over there already, so big excitement about that. It's been a great week there in the past, and there's an awareness of how important each meeting, each training session is going to be with a short turnaround before France.
Jack Boyle obviously went down on Saturday. Were you talking to him? I mean, how difficult is that for him personally, but then for the squad as well?
Yeah, I'm gutted for him. Obviously, there's been a few injuries at loosehead, so what an opportunity it could have been. But, I mean, it's the nature of the game at times. A few of us have put an arm around him, obviously, and checking in on him, because it is massive disappointment there. But, I mean, as I said, it's the nature of the game, and there goes an opportunity for someone else. So there's still competition there between Michael Millen, Jeremy Lachman, and Billy Bowen, who's a young prospect coming in. So excited to see what those guys are all about.
And France on a Thursday night, are you excited the fact that it's a Thursday, but different?
Something different, yeah. I mean, what day of the week is doesn't make too much of a difference to me, to be honest. I think it's going to be a hostile environment, 9 p.m. kickoff as well. So, yeah, what a stadium to be playing in to start the tournament off. I'm excited by it massively.
And now finally for this evening, ahead of the SSE Airtricity Men's Premier Division, Cork City's Fiacra Kelleher has been speaking to Stephen Doyle at the launch at Whelan's in Dublin.
Fiacra Kelleher, it's great to speak to you ahead of the new SSE Airtricity First Division season. Just first things first, I suppose, you know, disappointing that you're not starting the season in the Premier Division. First Division club, though, with a massive, massive favourites tag going into this season. How does the squad carry that?
Yeah, listen, it's something that we have to get used to quickly. One of the good things that we have going for us is we've actually got a few of the lads still in the squad who got promoted this time two years ago up to the Premier Division. So, yeah, we still have a good few of them in the squad, and yeah, they're kind of helping to show the way and show how it's going to be done, I suppose, really.
You came in kind of halfway through last season. How tough was it to try and settle yourself within a squad that was going through so many tough times on the pitch?
Yeah, listen, it's not easy because, you know, confidence was low. You know, they weren't winning many games. And then you come in and there's a bit of expectation that you're just going to change everything and that results are going to pick up. And it didn't happen that way. And I picked up an injury along the way as well that kept me out for a good few weeks as well, which wasn't ideal. And yeah, I just felt like I was playing catch up the whole time. So this year now I'm looking forward to just kind of having a good pre-season under my belt. Obviously, we have our new gaffer now, Barry, as well, who's implementing his own plans and how he wants things to go this year. And yeah, I think everything, even the buzz around the club now, there's good optimism and you know, the squad are in a good place.
How does Barry want to set this Cork City team up to play? Is it like, are we going to see an attacking Cork City side, or is it going to be maybe a little bit more pragmatic?
Yeah, no, attacking. Yeah, all out. I think that's Barry's style. We're just going to get after the ball at every opportunity. High pressing, high energy team, I think, is really what he wants. And so far from training and the two games that we've played under him, that's kind of the narrative of how he wants it to go. So yeah, I think you're gonna see a high energy team.
How important was it to keep Greg Bulge at the club, a man of great experience, and I think a man as well, also when you're in the trenches, you'd like to have by your side?
Absolutely, yeah. You can just see even from the cup final last year that even at his age, he's still one of the best players on the pitch. Up until he came off, so look, we're all buzzing that he's come back, that he's here for another year at least. Anyway, and I think just for the club, looking forward and all the experience that he has, that he can, you know, that he can filter that down through the academy as a coach as well, and hopefully he doesn't step into that role too soon. But at the moment, he's still a vital member of our playing squad. You know,
was the cup final experience something, despite the defeat, but the fact that you went on that run, got to the final, experienced that final day, is that something that you can take positives from going into the season?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, look. So that squad that made it to the cup final was also the same squad that got relegated, you know. So that cup run just kind of shows that there is good performances in this squad and that there is good players in the squad. It was really just the consistency that we lacked throughout the whole season, and you know, that's part and parcel of having a younger squad. You know, they're still trying to find their way, but this year now, hopefully they can take a lot from that and understand that it's consistency week in. You know, you have to be a 7-8 out of 10, you can't be an 8 and then a 2, and yeah, if we can get everybody to that level where they're being consistent, then I feel like we've a really good squad for this season and for the coming months as well.
A lot of people are wondering whether Shawnee Maguire would stay with the club. How important is it as well, having the goals of Shawnee, Rory Keating as well?
Yeah, massive. Look, the two of them are more than a handful at this level, and even in the Premier Division, you know, they'd be a handful for anybody. So it's vitally important that we hang on to Shawnee. Rory now as well, coming back to full fitness. He's absolutely raring to go. So yeah, I think we're going to see the best of him now as well, and we need the two of them really to make sure that we get promotion straight back to the Premier Division this year. So yeah, it's vital that we hang on to Shawnee and we get Keith firing.
I think a lot of people felt there was a disconnect between supporters and the players last season. Is that something you would be confident that you can maybe rejuvenate again, that connection between fans and players?
Yeah, I think so. I don't really think the disconnect was between the fans and the players. It was more the fans and probably the club, I suppose. They kind of felt the two were drifting apart a little bit, but they always backed us as fans, or as players, sorry, when we stepped out onto the pitch. And the cup final was a hell of an experience for us, even the way into the stadium. I mean, they showed up in their numbers, so they've always backed us, but hopefully now with Barry coming in and you know, that we can just align with them and give them a club to be proud of, and a club that they feel is back in the heart of the community. Really, I feel like they probably felt like it's kind of slipped out of their hands a little bit, but look, we want to instill more pride in the Cork people and in the club as well.
Yeah, I can't let you go. Just last question, without mentioning your brother Quaveen, who's been having a sensational season at Brentford. And since we would have spoken to you last, of course, we've had all the Ireland World Cup drama, and now we've got a playoff to look forward to. You spoke about pride there about Cork City. Like, there must be some serious pride in the Kelleher household about what's been going on. What was it like that night, the Hungary game?
Unbelievable. We're all sat around the TV in our living room. My mum, two of my brothers, there was four or five little kids. When that goal went in, the kids were in tears from us going mad, and then we were in tears, and the whole thing was this mad experience. We had neighbours rushing in through the front door. It was a crazy experience. Just seeing Keith so happy, you know, he's usually quite calm and collected, but seeing him go that mad was beautiful, really. So look, we're just as excited as everybody else. Can't wait for March, can't wait for those playoffs. Hopefully we have a World Cup to look forward to, I'm hoping.
Barry, give you time off maybe to go over to Mexico.
Well, you better. Yeah. I'll have to put in some serious performances before that, I suppose. But I'll have to go knock on the door, I think, if that happens, yeah.
Hey, Chris, it's been a pleasure. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Thank you.
Cheers, Stephen. Thank you.
Some very exciting sporting moments ahead in the coming weeks and months. But for now, that's all we have time for. I've been Melanie Brown on the Big Red Bench. Enjoy the rest of your bank holiday Sunday. And Mags Blackburn is up.